Support comes from the Janis Hawkins Cultural Arts Park on the main campus of Troy University. Featuring the International Arts Center, the Fred Nall Hollis Museum, and the Hua Baoju Gallery. More information at troy.edu/artspark.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Drone technology is playing a crucial role in the war in Ukraine. So today in our book series, The Storyline, we talk with Dr. Michael Kruser, author of Drones and the Future of Air Warfare, The Evolution of Remotely Piloted Aircraft. Lieutenant Colonel Kruser is Department Chair of International Security at the Air Command and Staff College at Maxwell Air Force Base. He joins us by Skype to share his views. Dr. Michael Kruser, thank you so much for joining us at Maxwell Air Force Base.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Kruser, you have written a book about drone technology. Can you give us a preview?
This book was published a few years ago now. It came from my graduate school work. I was writing it in the second Iraq War, 2010 timeframe. And this is also as we were fighting in Libya and looking potentially at getting involved at the beginning of Syria. One of my advisors had been a former DC policy analyst and was working with the Obama administration, talking about how we could use drones to establish a no-fly zone over Syria. And I had a lot of experience with military drones, and I could see that what most people were reading about them in the policy world was that it was very much based on new technology is amazing, and this is going to change everything, and war is now going to look different because we have this amazing new weapon.
Your book, Drones and the Future of Air Warfare, this is coming to pass in the war against Ukraine by Russia. Who's supplying the drones?
It truly is a world supply of drones. We have direct country sponsorship in some cases. The Turks were originally supplying the Ukrainians with their Bakhtiar TB2s. Those were the big tank killer drones we saw in the initial wave. We have more recently seen what sometimes are classified as suicide drones, what I would classify as loitering munitions that are coming from Iran going to the Russian side of the conflict. And so those are what you see now attacking Kyiv and elsewhere. But you also have a number of technologies emerging, what we call commercial off-the-shelf technology. These are small drones that you can really buy the basic drone technology, and then you can modify it a bit.
They're used for civilian purposes as well. I know that Troy University is teaching drone technology, and I recently attended a graduation ceremony, high schoolers building drones. Tell me about advanced technology and what it is doing for the war in Ukraine.
We like to talk about the differences between changing the nature of war and changing the character of war. So what we're seeing through advanced technology is significant changes in the character of warfare. The fighting looks different. It can be a lot bloodier at times. In the military, we tend to talk about these things as being force multipliers that make war more bloody and more costly. But the nature of war that's underlying it really hasn't changed much. So if you go back 9 months ago, all the talk about drones was these Turkish drones supplying the Ukrainians and how much it was helping them. The Russians and the Wagner Group and other forces have adopted their tactics, so they're not as effective anymore. So what the drones did initially was they caught the Russians off guard and they thwarted their offensive advance. But now we are basically in a position where the best soldiers have largely been killed on the battlefield on both sides, and more basic soldiers moving in who are digging in trenches on both sides. So it's beginning to look a lot more like Western Europe 1916 than many other scenarios.
You yourself have been deployed several times.
Oh, yes, I have.
So what are your observations from the field about this evolving use of technology?
Anything I say from this point on about operational experience will be based on my own views and do not reflect my military status or the Department of Defense. But we saw in real time a lot of these issues on some recent deployments I was on. I was most recently in Baghdad in 2019-2020, and we were training Iraqi forces on how to use some of these drone technologies. for the things that were basically very small and basic that could be used right on the traditional battlefield, like to fight the group that was in front of you, that's a natural addition to an existing army, and it's pretty easy to adopt. And so, as you mentioned, since so much of this comes from this commercial technology that even high school students know how to use and can figure out, we're going to see a big proliferation of that kind of threat, almost like IEDs in the sky to an extent. And we've begun to see that in a lot of places around the world. But as far as the idea of wonder weapons that are going to be able to come in and radically change everything because they have some new and great power, I don't see that happening very easy. They are very complicated. They are manpower intensive, and they require a system of war that very few countries have. The United States and Western powers have it. Ukraine has demonstrated to an extent, but only limited still. And it's very hard to teach people in short order. And you really need a professional military to make that work.
Thinking about the wars in the 20th century, democracy versus authoritarianism seems to be a legacy of that century. This advanced technology, is this going to be a deciding factor in winning these wars?
I don't think it's going to be a deciding factor. It's going to be very important because you need to be able to compete and deter great power competition at the high level. So when we look at, say, prospects of fighting Russia directly or fighting China in the Indo-Pacific, there's a lot of discussion about building sixth-generation fighters and what we call loyal wingmen, basically drones that will fly alongside of our fighter aircraft and be able to fight an air war. To a good extent, we do need to invest in that because we need to make sure that we can deter China from trying to fight us that way. But just like us and the Soviets built lots of missiles to deter each other from fighting directly, we end up fighting small wars indirectly around other parts of the world. In that case, it becomes not a matter of technology being decisive, but politics and will being decisive. That's what I think, especially for the American audience, that's what we need to remember, is we can match anyone in the world with technology, but war is about much more than technology. It's about that human element.
How much do you see China weighing in on all of this?
China has a very interesting role in this because they have an uneasy relationship with Vladimir Putin and the Russians. I wouldn't go so far as to call it an alliance, but it's at least an opportunistic arrangement between them. The Russians are heavily reliant on trying to get closer to China in a lot of ways, and China is supplying various technologies. But at the same time, the Chinese don't want to get pulled in and too weighed down by what could become an anchor with this conflict in Russia. So that's been really their dynamic. Just as we have to a large degree an interest in seeing Russia weakened and Russia learning some lessons from this, the Chinese have some incentive to keep us distracted in Europe, but they don't want to become distracted and enmeshed either.
What else do you want your listeners to realize about what's going on in Ukraine?
So the main thing is, why are we there and why should we care? This gets back to your question a few minutes ago about autocracy versus democracy. We like to talk in the government about the rule-based international order, and that's really what is at stake in this conflict to a large degree. Your listeners right now are either going to be listening to this on a cell phone or in a vehicle for the most part, which is built based on global trade. Even if it's an American product, it's going to have components from all around the world. Our country is as strong as it is because we have an international system that allows for trade free of major conflicts because we respect one another's sovereignty and we can work together. Russia, China, and other actors want to see fundamental change to that system. The Chinese may be content to see gradual change over time, but Russia right now sees itself being backed into a corner as a threat of Europe and democracy spreading closer to them. That's an existential threat to Vladimir Putin, and that's what's forcing his reaction. And we need to be aware of that, but we at the same time need to, just as in the 20th century, be the arsenal of democracy and defenders of freedom.
Thank you so much for joining us today on In Focus and also telling us about your book, Drones and the Future of Air Warfare. What a prediction that was.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Joining us by Skype for our book series, The Storyline, was Dr. Michael Kruser. Lieutenant Colonel Kruser is Department Chair of International Security at the Air Command and Staff College at Maxwell Air Force Base. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.
Support comes from Troy University's Trojan Cafe,
offering handcrafted Starbucks beverages and a wide assortment of meal and snack options. Located on Troy University's Montgomery campus, across from the Rosa Parks Library and Museum.